Hello, friends. Today we're going to talk about five things I do daily that help me with my post-abortion syndrome or post-abortion trauma, or really honestly just my mental health in general. I am someone that thrives off of routines, and pre-healing, I would be successful in routines for a short time and then I would just completely fall off and it would be absolutely disastrous. And since I've gone through healing, I've been able to set systems in place to keep the symptoms at bay. So again, we're going to talk about these five things. So let's go. Are you struggling with the pain of a past abortion and longing for help but don't know where to turn? Have you been made to believe that your sin of abortion is too big and too bad? Friend, if that's you, you're in the right place. Welcome to the Does God Forgive Abortion podcast. I'm Brittany, and you wouldn't know it just by looking at me, but I too walked through the doors of an abortion clinic and ended the life of my unborn child. I thought for years that I had committed the one sin that was unforgivable, and I awaited punishment from God. After years of prompting from the Holy Spirit, I finally found redemption and hope through Jesus. Now that I am healed, God has placed a calling on my heart to walk alongside you so that you can find true hope and healing too. If you're ready to recognize that God has a true plan and purpose for you, no matter what you have done in your past, then this podcast is for you. Fill up your favorite mug with some coffee and crack open your Bible, because it's time to receive the good, good news. Hello, my dear friends. Before we get into this episode, I just want to re-invite you to sign up for our upcoming abortion recovery workshop on April 24th. It is coming up so soon. This workshop is going to help you commit to partnering with God, narrow in where you need healing from your abortion, and learn the steps it takes to find peace so that you can heal from your past, abortion or abortions, once and for all. So if you want to join us, which I hope you do, you can join us for free at bit.ly/abortion recovery workshop, or you can grab that link in the show notes. The workshop is going to be held in our private Facebook group, so make sure you join us there at bit.ly/DGFA group. If you're already in that group, that's totally awesome. You can still sign up at the link to get all of the notifications for the workshop, but we will be holding it right in that group, so you are in the place you need to be. And my prayer is that this workshop is just going to help you kind of see once and for all where God is leading you in your healing journey. So prior to finding my healing from my past decision of abortion, my life was kind of a wreck. You've heard me talk about it on the podcast before if you've been listening for a while. And I really struggled after having my oldest daughter, but I also struggled prior to that. I suffered for years with anger and impatience and frustration, body image issues, self-esteem issues, depression, low motivation, anxiety, and that's just a few of the things that I struggled with, but those were my main issues. And quite honestly, if I'm being transparent with you, I still have some of those issues. And back then, overwhelm came super easy for me. Things would spiral out of control. The smallest thing would set me off and everything would just be not peaceful in the slightest. So when I was in the throes of guilt and shame after having my oldest daughter, things were just completely and utterly out of control. And I knew that I had to take control of my life, but I was never consistent. So I would create these routines and I would follow them for maybe a couple of days, and then I would just go back into my old habits, my old ways, and life would just continue on this cycle. So fast forward to when I went through my healing, I actually finally had the tools I needed in order to take back this part of my life. And part of that is because I gave it to God. I finally had this strong relationship with my Heavenly Father. but I understood what my triggers were. So if you heard the little plug about the abortion recovery workshop, we actually are going to go over some of these things. So again, I encourage you to join us at bit.ly/abortion recovery workshop. But I understood what triggered those responses in me, what triggered those thoughts in me, and I understood how to address those triggers and how to really prevent them from happening, and even if they did happen, how to respond in a way that was going to be healthy for me, healthy for my relationship with Jesus, healthy for my family, and what wasn't going to put me in this constant cycle of losing control. So I've narrowed it down to 5 things that I do daily in regard to routine that help me. Now, disclaimer, this is what works for me. So some of these may not work for you. I'm not making any health claims or anything like that. This isn't medical advice. You are free to try some of these things and understand that we all are individuals and things help us differently. But my point in sharing these things with you is to give you some options that may work for you, or maybe the exact thing that I share isn't going to work for you, but you're going to change something about what you do based on what I say that might help. So yes, that is why I decided to kind of let you guys in on my routine. One thing I get told all of the time or asked all of the time is, how do you do all of the things? Because I have the podcast and we're going to be launching our one-on-one mentoring program this month, and I also am a freelancer, and I have 2 young children that I love so much that I mother during the day. They're not in daycare, and yes, I'm very busy with a lot of volunteer opportunities too. I volunteer with Forgiven and Set Free North Dakota and my church often, and so my answer to that is routines, because if I do not have these things in place, I revert back to overwhelmed, angry, impatient, depressed very quickly. So here are the things that I do. The first thing is I wake up before my family. Now, I know many of you listening may not be morning people, and I am not trying to pressure you into becoming morning people. If that is not for you, there is no judgment from me. I did not used to be a morning person. I used to be a person that would sleep until like 9, 10, sometimes 11 o'clock. I can't do that now. I always make sure I'm waking up before my family. I personally wake up at 4:30 during the week, and that's because I have certain things that I want to do in the morning that are harder for me to do once my kids are up, and I want peace and quiet while I do it. And so I read my Bible in the mornings. I think that my days go so much better when I am giving God my first part of my day. I am going to be starting a new routine actually this upcoming week, and I'm not going to be reading my Bible first thing in the morning. And the reason why I'm going to be changing it up just a little bit is because I'm going to be starting to work out a little bit of a different program. I'm excited because my husband is creating a lifting program for me. So I'm going to be getting back into lifting weights again. And I think I'm going to switch around how I do my Bible time and my exercise time. And I feel like I'm getting ahead of myself because that's another one of the things on my list. But we're talking about waking up before my family. So that's what I do. I read my Bible. I'll move my body too, which we'll get into in a second. But just having a morning routine that sets the day helps me, because if I can start the day off on a good note, then the day is less likely to completely fall apart later. So the second thing that I do is make time to move my body. So again, I was just talking about that. I do prefer to go for walks outside, so I try to sneak one in. Now, I live up in Fargo, North Dakota, so it is very cold here. Although, we've had a super mild winter, actually. We haven't had a whole ton of snow. It actually has been a huge blessing. Not that I don't love snow, because I think it's so beautiful. I think our winters actually can be very beautiful, but we last winter, so many storms, like so many canceled things. It was crazy. But if I can sneak a walk in outside, I do. And I also like to do weightlifting. And the common misconception with weightlifting is that it's going to make you look super muscular and all that. And that's not true. Weightlifting is really good for you and lots of endorphins. So I try to do that. So kind of back to what I was saying about my next week, what I'm going to try to do with my routine is I'm going to wake up and I'm going to walk on my walking pad with some pre-workout for like 10 minutes, and then I'm going to do my weightlifting, which I think my husband is creating a plan for me where I'll weightlift for like 30 minutes or so. I'll do some cardio after that, just for a few minutes, and then I'm going to read my Bible. My hope is that that's going to wake up my brain so that I retain my Bible much more. Because sometimes I find myself in the mornings, if I do my Bible immediately, like I have been, I'll find myself kind of staring at the wall because I'm still really tired and not awake yet. So anyways, that's my plan. So number one was wake up before my family. Number two is make time to move my body and be intentional about it. The third thing that I do daily is I have tidy cues that I follow to try to keep my house picked up. Now, friends, my house is not immaculately clean and is definitely not Instagram worthy. So don't take this the wrong way. Like, I'm not saying that your house needs to be sparkling clean 24/7. But I know that when my house is like, it looks like a hurricane went through every single room in it, it is very difficult for me to get my work done because I work from home. And so I try to do all of my work either before the kids go up, then during nap, and then after they go to bed. And so if my entire house is like literally like the Tasmanian devil had a heyday in the entirety of it, I can't work. The mental overload is way too much. So I have certain tidy tasks that I do each day. I have daily ones and then I have weekly ones. So I use the Passionate Penny Pincher Planner. I think there's still some for sale this year. If you are a planner junkie like I am, I love planners. I'm obsessed. I would love to create my own someday. However, I just really love the Passionate Penny Pinchers. That's been my favorite one that I've found so far. But that's the one I use, and it actually has the tidy cues in it. So it has the tidy cues for every single day that you do morning and night, and then there's cleaning tasks for each day of the week. So you're not cleaning your entire house in one day, you're cleaning it over time. And that's what's helped me, because I get so overwhelmed if I try to clean everything in one day, and I just can't do that. And so tidy cues each day have helped me keep the house mostly picked up and mostly clean. Now, again, I fail just like any human, but it helps with my mental overload and kind of keeps that at bay a little bit. So highly recommend it if you feel the same way that I did when your entire house is a disaster because you've been so busy. It sounds like a lot. Like I'm telling you, like, oh, there's tidy cues morning and night and all that. It sounds like a lot. It's really not. It's so much more manageable than doing it all in one day. The fourth thing I do is I actually stick to a time block schedule, and each of my tasks goes into one of my time blocks. And I actually got this method from Systemize Your Life by Chelsea Joe. I'll link her podcast in the show notes, but she actually has a program, and I have gone through her home management program and her business management program, and the time blocks, she is the one who literally taught me how to figure out how many time blocks I needed in a day, where they needed to go, what needed to go in them. And ever since I started using her method a few months ago, it has helped me so much and makes me not feel like my day is wasted. Like, have you ever thought, oh, I'm gonna get so much done today, and then it's 3 p.m. and you have no idea where the day went? That was literally me on a cycle all of the time, and I couldn't do it anymore. So I do a time block schedule. If you listen to her podcast, she can teach you too, or you can go through your program, or I'm sure you can find some really good time blocking templates on Pinterest. And I highly encourage you to think about looking at your day in blocks of time versus like just going for it with no plan, because as we know, that does not always work out. Okay, the fifth thing I do is I have a nighttime routine, and I am not perfect with this, and I'm hoping to really get myself back on track, but my nighttime routine that is ideal for me is no devices at least 30 minutes before I go to bed, because the blue light in your devices can keep your brain awake, and you don't want to stay awake forever. You want to fall asleep and have a good restful sleep. So no devices 30 minutes before bed. I actually am planning on moving my phone out of the bedroom at night and charging it in the kitchen and using an alarm clock to wake me up in the morning, just so that you can rest easier at night. And I'm not going to get into it, but the EMFs from your phone by your head during the night can actually cause you to not have a restful night's sleep. There's actually studies that say people who shut off their Wi-Fi router in their homes at night and sleep better than people who don't. So we're not quite at the point where we shut off our Wi-Fi router yet, but I am going to be moving my phone away from where I sleep. And then the other parts of my nighttime routine, I do a skincare routine. I'm really struggling with a lot of adult acne right now, and I think it's due to my insulin resistance. I have insulin resistance, and so I do skincare to try to help with that. I also just need to change some of my other habits too, but skincare, and then I like to try to read, and I say no devices 30 minutes before bed, but I do have an e-reader device that has like a paper white kind of feel, so it's not a screen with blue light keeping my brain awake. And all of this just really kind of allows me to relax, do some self-care, act like I'm making time for myself, and allows me to kind of shut off my brain. And I definitely sleep better when I'm following my nighttime routine consistently. So the reason that all of these things are helping my issues with post-abortion syndrome or post-abortion trauma is that they are decreasing overwhelm for me. And like I said, this isn't just like a post-abortion syndrome thing. Like, this is a mental health thing in general. Decreasing overwhelm helps your mental health. Cluttered environments can really hurt your mental health, and not just cluttered environment in your home, but cluttered environment in your mind too. If your mind is cluttered and feeling like you have all of these things that you have to do, your mental health can really suffer and put you back in that cycle of never-ending loss, sense of losing your control. And so we don't want overwhelm to feed into our negative symptoms. And so that's why I knew I had to do something. And it takes some practice. It takes some planning. I plan out my week every single week, usually on Sundays, and I write down everything that I have to do. And it's helped me so much. So I hope that you've taken away some things that may help you too. And if you try any of these things, I would love if you would connect with me and just let me know how it's working for you. So you can connect with me through email or in our Facebook group. So my email is Brittany@doesgodforgiveabortion.com. And our Facebook group again is bit.ly/DGFA group. So I would love if you would just let me know what kind of routines you try to add to your day and how they work for you. Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you so much for the opportunity to just get to have kind of a fun chat today and just get to share about how you have given us the ability to have routines to help with our overwhelm. Lord, I pray that as these women listen today, they will take something away from this episode that can help reduce overwhelm in their lives. Lord, we are constantly thrown with just so many different things, and it can be so hard to manage all of our responsibilities. And so I just pray that you will bring peace to the woman that is listening today, that you will help her just understand that you love her and that she doesn't have to fit into this mold of a perfect person. She just needs to live freely in peace with you. So I just pray for that for every single woman listening. I pray for peace and protection as we go into the rest of the weekend and next week. And I just can't thank you enough for this ministry and for what it is doing for women. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, beautiful friend, I hope that you found comfort from today's episode. If so, would you take 30 seconds and share this podcast with someone you know that may be seeking wholeness after abortion? Also, I would be over the moon grateful if you would please consider leaving a review wherever you are listening. It truly encourages me to know this podcast is helping you. Lastly, I want to remind you that we are here for you. If you would like to connect with the community of women healing from the past decision of abortion, please join us in our private Facebook group at bit.ly/DGFA group. Know that I continue to pray for you daily, and I am so thankful for you. I'll meet you back in a few days for a brand new episode, but until then, take care and God bless.